I'll turn it over to you, Van.
Hello, and glad to be here. And after chanting the Heart Sutra, I don't really think I have anything to say. Although that's never stopped me before, not having something to say. What I had in mind to talk about was art and creativity. In our Zen tradition, of course, that goes back to the very roots of our study, and art has always been an expression of the state of awareness that Zen points to. And that state of awareness that the Heart Sutra so clearly pointed out, the Taoist and the Buddhist of the early period of time, and still today, write poetry and paint beautiful pictures, and those are artistic expressions of the groundless nature of being, space, openness. We've had a few book studies. One recently was on, it was Hinton is the man's name. And he writes about the roots of Zen and Taoism and Buddhism and how that all blended. And at the early stages of the development of this tradition, a lot of the artists and poets and things like that were the Zen and Taoist students and practitioners. We've all heard it said that sometimes in music, it is that pause that makes the music so poignant. It's not just a series of notes. There's the pause occasionally that, and that's what, of course, is in poetry and paintings and things like that. Display is the openness, the emptiness that is behind the form. Always there's this open nature, and then they paint the picture on top of it, which is the Tao or emptiness expressing itself into form. But in their artwork, it was very clear that they were emphasizing the openness, the empty, spacious nature of being. And, you know, throughout the history of mankind, people have used art for all kinds of things. Sometimes it was to record history, like some of the petroglyphs and things like that. Storytelling was an art, of course, and it was not only to preserve history, but it was to also maybe point out, you know, they were pointing out stories, you know, a fable or something like that, that you ponder and you go, oh, okay, I get it. So that's a form of art. Music, of course, is a form of art that we all know and love. And I have to confess, I don't understand poetry that well. I read a lot. Well, I read some poetry, and frequently I just scratch my head and I don't get it. I think the reason I don't get it is because I'm trying to use my mind to make sense of what the poet is saying instead of letting go of my mind and just feeling with my heart what is being conveyed. And to me, that is what I consider to be the highest form of art is when whatever it is, song, music, poetry, whatever, when it conveys the deeper essence that is much deeper than the mind. And as the Heart Sutra pointed out, emptiness is form, form is emptiness. And so everywhere I look, were I awake enough, I would see emptiness within form. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I wanted to share with you one of the little art pieces that I made right after I got interested, or right after I found this group. I've been a spiritual seeker, wanderer. I quit seeking a long time ago. I didn't give up. I just quit seeking. And but that doesn't mean I gave up growth or deeper awareness, looking into how that is for me, how that manifests in my life through my personality, my mind, my life, etc. And so I've always been an artist in one way or the other. But right after I became acquainted with this group, I read another one of David Hinton's books, and it was on a book of koans. And the first koan in there was what we know as the no koan. And I read it, and I did not have a clue. I'm not sure I still do, but at that point, I had zero clue. To say the word no in an answer to this question meant nothing to me. And I pondered it, and I meditated on it, nothing. And then I read in Hinton's book that actually the English term, no, is a translation of the word moo. Well, that didn't really help, because I don't know, I don't speak Japanese, and I don't know what moo means. But then he got back to a deeper understanding of the word moo. Again, we have an English translation of that, which is absence. And in my studies and meditations and things like that, Taoism was something that I have delved into quite deeply for many years. And so I began to get an understanding of absence, that which is beyond words, that which from which everything comes, but it is so not of this stuff. You know, the Tao Te Ching says that from the source or Tao came the 10,000 things. So the absence in that koan to me represented the Tao, or that which we really can't talk about. We can point at the moon and we can talk about it, but it's not the moon. So I sat with the word absence and what that had already meant to me in my life. And one day I was out walking here in my neighborhood, and I was contemplating the koan, and I just happened to look over, and it was in the fall, it was last fall, and I saw a couple of flowers that were beginning to fade. There were a lot of flowers still left on some of the branches, some of the bushes and things like that. But I noticed that they were fading. And so it reminded me of the impermanence of the 10,000 things, this life that we seem to accept as real. And it is. It's just an expression of absence, or whatever we want to call that. So it's real in that sense. Anyway, I looked at the flowers that were dying and some branches, and then I began to think about what makes up these flowers. Well, of course, they're giving off some sort of energy, and I could see it with my eyes. I could see the colors and things were fading and this and that. And so I just kept contemplating this as I was walking along. And pretty soon I thought about, okay, the flowers, they're made up of molecules, and these molecules are made up of atoms, and the atoms are made up of subatomic particles, and these subatomic particles actually wink in and out of existence, just like the 10,000 things wink in and out of existence. And the more that I followed that train of thought, I popped into a deeper awareness of absence and what that and an experience of that. Can't tell you exactly what that experience was, but it was quite fun. And so once I began to focus back on my walk, I looked down and I saw a piece of grass, and it was a dried piece of grass. And I saw it from this angle, and I went, oh my God, that's an inso. That's the Zen circle. And I thought, my God, that's just what I was experiencing, was this wholeness, this oneness. And of course, that wholeness and oneness is everywhere we look, if we see the emptiness within form. And I looked for quite a while, 3 or 4 minutes, maybe 5, and this was the only one that was there. And I felt so fortunate to find it, because it was such a beautiful reminder of the experience of oneness. And then I kept walking and kept looking and looking, and pretty soon I found another one. And I was amazed, and I wondered how many more there were. And by the time I got through with my walk, I had probably found maybe 5 or 10 of these little grass plants that had turned into this circle, this inso. And, I thought about how did they do that? Why did they do that? There has to be some reason. Well, later I figured it out that it was a grass stalk like this. And when it folded over, it opened up so that the seeds could be released, so that it could continue. You know, that's why it opened up. I didn't care why. I mean, I was curious as to why it opened up, but the fact that I found this and it reminded me of this experience that I had, that is art to me. That's nature. Anything that reminds me or others of a sacred experience is the highest form of art, as far as I'm concerned. So then I decided, okay, I've got these seed pods, and I wanted to do something with them. So I went out into my workshop, and I found a piece of wood. I can't tell you how long that took to find the perfect piece of wood to put my little dried flowers in. I didn't have a vase, and so I found a perfect piece of maple, and I cut it out into my inspirational Enzo shape, and I painted it and then carved away some of it and put the flowers in there. And I keep it sitting on my dresser there behind me, because every time I see it, it brings me back to the awareness, understanding, experience of the oneness in all of this form, all of this, the 10,000 things. To me, that is a masterpiece. I couldn't sell it, nor would anyone else particularly think it's a masterpiece. But the reason it's a masterpiece to me is because I have a direct connection to Source through remembrance when I see that piece. The experience of seeing it is actually the experience of Mu for me, at least to the depth of Mu that I have understood at this point in my journey of life. So to me, symbolic art, something that touches me, you know, we've all heard the saying, I don't know what is good art, but I know what I like. And of course, different people like different things for different reasons. Most of us here, I am pretty sure, I will make an assumption, the art that we're drawn to is that which reminds us of the deeper nature of self, the deeper nature of pure mind, to whatever degree we can understand what that is in our little minds. So art can do many, many things. It can remind us, but it also can be sort of astonishing. And I've seen pieces that just shocked me, not in a bad way, but the beauty, the depth, the whatever it was that was being conveyed through that piece was created a moment of astonishment in my mind. Many years ago, it was in this lifetime, but it was definitely another incarnation in this lifetime. I was a professional magician. I did magic shows, and I had two acts. One was a magic act, and the other was an act doing hypnosis. I was a stage hypnotist. And after a while with the magic, at some point after I'd been on a little bit of a spiritual journey in my life, I felt like I was just being a fraud and that I was just deceiving people. And I didn't care to do that anymore. And then shortly after, I was on the verge of giving up that particular profession and love of mine. I read something in the Vedas. This quote came drifting through, and I saw it, and it said, when a magician does his magic, there is a moment of wonderment elicited in the mind of the spectator, and it stops the mind. And that moment of mindlessness is the same as the moment of meditation. At that point, I had to ponder a lot because I was still deceiving people. But I realized that by doing a very specific thing, I could generate this astonishment that would stop the mind because it made no sense to the mind. What just happened made no sense. And at that moment, I could then drop in something that I hoped would be a positive seed, something of value that would penetrate beneath the surface of the mind into perhaps the subconscious or whatever. And I felt that then my magic could be a useful tool to help people grow. eventually I quit doing most of my magic period. I got off into other things, did other things for a living. But that is astonishment. It can happen in many, many ways. We can look at a sunset, at our sunrise, or the face of someone we love, or hear a beautiful piece of music. All of that can create that moment of astonishment that takes us out of the mind, our little mind, and allows us to experience our deeper self, what I'll call the heart, for lack of, you know, we only have so many words that can point to all this stuff. Let's see. Well, I made some notes here in case I got too far off. Here's something that's kind of fun. I've heard a question asked. How do you make an apple pie from scratch? Have any of you ever heard that question? Okay, Sarah has. And the answer that I've heard is, well, first you have to make a universe. And this little thing here contains the entire universe. The seed that grew this plant, it had to be in soil, it had to be in earth, it had to have sunlight, it had to have water, it had to have air. It's wood-like in structure. In Chinese medicine, there's five elements, water, wood, fire, earth, and metal being the minerals that are in the soil. And so, you know, the wood and the flowers. So this is a complete representation of the universe, as is each and every one of us, and each and every sunset, and each and every everything. It takes a universe to create an apple pie, or you and me, and all of the things in it. At this time in my life, I still do a lot of artwork. I'm retired. I was a doctor of oriental medicine for about 40 years, and I did a lot of individual work with people and their health and that sort of thing. And I see that as artwork too. And I began to understand at some point in my life that to me, the highest form of art is relationships, communicating open-hearted love as much as we're capable of. And at this point in my life, that's about the only thing I'm really, really interested in, is how to open the heart and allow love from source. You know, I've heard it said that the essence of source is emptiness. Its nature is luminous, and the manifestation is love and compassion and all of the good qualities that we all have. And so to me, relationship is the best way I know to practice what I consider to be the highest art form, which is to allow source to flow through me as freely as possible. And some of the ways that happens for me is through artwork. And so I heard it said one time, find something that makes you come alive, because the world needs more alive people. So that's what I do these days, is I pursue things that facilitate my aliveness. This group, the Sangha, is an expression of relationship. And, you know, one of the good things that I really like about this group is that I don't really know anything about any of you, and none of you really know anything about me. I've spoken a few times, said a few words, this and that, but and the beauty of all of that is, it's not that I can project upon you what I think you need to be or what I think you need to be for me. The beauty of not really knowing you all personally is that I can just sit here and look at the love that is shining in all of your faces. And I know that if I have a problem, I can talk to someone. The relationship of love is alive and well right here in this little Zoom window, and way, way, way beyond this little Zoom window. And so I am very grateful to have found this group and filter in and do my Wednesday morning and Saturday morning and wave at all the hearts that are waving back at me. And to me, that's about as good as art can ever be. So thank you very much.
And we usually have time.